Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower pastors, leaders, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hi, I'm your host, Gary Fuhr, and today's topic, Eyes on the Future, Part 1. As a pastor of a small church, I am constantly looking into the future. I don't want this to be Gary Fuhr's ministry. I want it to be God's ministry. And about 15 years ago, or so, I became really concerned with the future of the church, at least the place that I pastor, my local assembly. Now, I've been pastor of it for 17 years, but I got to be honest, the first 2 years, it was more like I was pretty sure that things were going to go great, I was going to grow it, and everything was going to go real well. Well, after a couple years of not seeing that, I started wondering, and I started being concerned. As a matter of fact, years before I became a pastor, several years before I became the pastor here, I had a visitor tell me that the congregation in the church looked like a retirement home, and quite frankly, it did. And since then, most of those original people that he had seen have passed on, and it got scary there for a while as I was seeing people pass on and no new ones coming in, and it got really lonely, and it got kind of scary. As a matter of fact, about 10 years ago, roughly in there, these are kind of rough years. I didn't keep a journal, but about 10 years ago, my 5-year plan was to keep the doors open until my mentor and the founder of the church passed on. Then I was going to give the building to a group of people that I could believe in and move on. And quite frankly, that was my game plan. He was an elderly gentleman. He is an elder. He's 90 years old now. So 10 years ago, he would have been 80. And I thought, well, when he passes on, I'll close the doors down. However, it's really cool because 10 years ago, I was ready to shut the doors. And today I'm training new young people, our young people, to take the reins of the church. Now, we'll address this more again, but I understand it's where God wants them to be. I'm not saying that they have to be here. I want them to be where God wants them to be, but I'm still training them. I'm still investing in them so that they'll continue on with the Lord, and in the end of it, they'll know Him and they'll be an asset wherever they go. And I'll tell you what, the young people are truly getting it. I'm very intentional about it. I talk to them about it. I tell them what I'm doing. I never go into detail. They're too young to handle it. They shouldn't know. But I go into concepts when there's struggles and troubles, usually after we're through them as a church. I go into concepts and I tell them, hey, look, as you take the reins, you're going to have to deal with some things. At this point, it seems like some of them will be ready in 5 to 10 years. And they, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Now, this doesn't mean I'm moving on in 5 to 10 years. I don't know where God has for us in the future, but they'll be ready. Matter of fact, like I said, may not be in this church, it may be in other churches. In this series of the eyes on the future, eyes on the future, I really want to focus a lot on our young people, a little bit on how we're functioning in the church and how things are going in the church, but a lot on our young people. And there's two areas that I'm really working to develop them and help them. And one is very broad, and I wouldn't have time to go into it today, and maybe in this series, I might go into it a little bit more, but they're life choices. The second area that I'm trying to develop in is college prep. We hear of college prep a lot of times of being teaching them so they could pass exams and tests and all that stuff. But how about the spiritual aspect of them entering into college? So the first area I'm developing them in is life choices. I can't go into all that I'm teaching them. There wouldn't be enough time. There's so many things through the years that I've really invested into our young people with. But let me just give you a concept. And I was reading a book last week, and when I read this story in the book, I was like, this is exactly what I'm trying to do with our young people, because this is what happened in my life. As I listened to the elders in the church preach, teach, and minister and live, I saw that they invested in me the same thing I'm wanting to invest into my young people. The book I was reading was Leadership Gold by John Maxwell, and in this book he tells a personal story of a time that him and his team was coming home from a big, long excursion, meetings and different things that they had, and it was a real good success, and they were real proud of themselves, and you know, the way he says it, in the flight home, there were high fives and a lot of excitement. And things happened, and things were good, and man, they were flying on cloud nine, I guess is how they say it. Forgive the pun, they were up in a plane anyway, but they were excited. I mean, they were on top of their game, and as they're landing, they noticed that the wind was a little bit strong, and it was kind of wreaking havoc with the plane. And as it got closer to the ground, you know, them planes are still going pretty fast. And as they get close to the ground, they notice that wind is just really pushing the plane around, moving it. And as they're trying to land, the wind throws the plane against the runway or the tarmac, whatever you call it. I guess it's the runway, and smashes it down on the ground. And about that time, he says his team was all looking at each other wide-eyed, and the high fives had stopped, so to speak. They went from being on top to being scared for their lives. As he's telling the story, he says that after that it had bounced off the runway, he says all of a sudden the engines powered up, captain, the pilot, took off again, and they circled, and they were able to land again safely. But the pilot, at the last minute, he took off. The cool thing was, is as they're getting out, you know, the team is all walking by the pilot, thanking him for the good job, thanking him for keeping them safe, and giving them appreciation. When one of the team asked the pilot, he says, "Hey, at what point in this ordeal did you decide to take off again? At what point did, because I guess, and I don't know much about airplanes or even aerodynamics, but I guess that was probably saved them from an airplane wreck." The pilot looked back at the team member, and he says, "Well, about 15 years ago." And they questioned him and says, what do you mean 15 years ago?" And the pilot says, "Well, 15 years ago, I was in training, and they taught me that when this situation arises, you need to pull out of it." And he says, "And I've kept that in my mind, and I thought on that ever since. So when the situation arose, it was just instinct for me to do these things." And as we're training our young people, as we're teaching them, if we invest in them now what they need to know as they're growing older, then it will become instinctual to them. As a matter of fact, I carry a whole lot of note cards in my pocket, and I keep different things in them, and one of the things in my personal note card that I'm kind of rehearsing in my own heart is, I wrote this down. I wrote, "I'm conditioned to do, but do I remember why?" There's a lot of things in my life that I do because I've conditioned myself to do it. But the question comes, do you know why you're doing it? And so it's important to teach our young people, to condition them to do and to give them the why. As a matter of fact, that kind of goes into my second point of college prep. You do understand that statistics are daunting. Chances are good that your kids will leave college without a relationship with Christ. Chances are that college will turn their heart away from Christ. And listen, the Bible is true, and you can believe it just as it states it. But as our young people are going to college, we need to equip them more than just that. I'm starting a study in with my young people, and I know among some churches and some beliefs, the apologetics is not something they support or would stand for. But I'm starting a study in apologetics, the why. the proof, the assurance of. And I'm hoping my young people are rooted enough in spiritual matters, and will continue growing, and the emphasis will be on spiritual matters. The emphasis will remain on growing in your faith. But I don't feel there's anything wrong with understanding the why. So I'm starting to study in apologetics. Now listen, if you don't feel comfortable in studying apologetics, that's fine. But start considering, start thinking about what your young people are going to run into in college, and start addressing that. Start teaching them. Start investing them into them. College preparation ahead of time. We as small churches, we need to have our eyes on the future. And that's mostly through our young people. What have we gained if we keep having church, but our young people don't continue in it? We have a gentleman in the church, and he keeps praying. Every time we have prayer request times, he prays for the 20 and 30-somethings because we're sorely missing them, especially in the small churches. We're sorely missing the 20 and 30-somethings. Now, they're there, and they're around, but we need more of them. So powerful, the family raising years, so powerful to have them in church raising their families. So what are we going to do? I don't know that I'll be able to reach a whole lot of the 20 to 30-somethings. We're praying for it. We're looking towards it. We're considering different things, and our hearts going out for them. But what I do know is I could pray to retain the young people I have now. And I've learned that teenagers usually grow into 20 and 30-somethings eventually. Invest into your youth group. Invest into your young people. Don't separate them and send them downstairs while the adults have church. They need to be a part of it. It's one of the most beautiful things that we have in a church, in this local assembly that I pastor, to have young people sitting right next to their parents, right next to elderly people. Now, I adapt my messages, and I speak right to the young people, with the adults right there also, and I feed every one of them. And it's a whole lot of fun, and we laugh together, and we cry together, we worship together, we testify together. And it's a great time to grow together. But what I'm doing is I'm preparing them for the future. I'm teaching them that their life choices, many of them will be made when they're young. So they need to go forth in that. They need to have it so rooted and deep within that when the problems come, it's just instinctual to act correctly, to grow correctly. And then they're going to go off to college. You may like that, you may not like that. But chances are some of your young people are going to go off to college. And chances are they're going to come back to the area. But will they be back as men and women of God? Or as those that have compromised and turned their hearts and turned their minds from God? Invest into your young people. Last week was a longer podcast. Today is a shorter one. I'm trying to keep these under 20 minutes. This one will be right about 15 minutes by the time I'm done. However, I'm recording this at the church, and we have a line of people outside ready to come in for the food pantry. So I need to go ahead and cut it short and get out and see them. But keep your eyes on the future. The next few podcasts are concerning your eyes on the future. Today, help them with their life choices. Listen, remember, what they do today will impact them tomorrow. Help them with their life choices today, but give them a deep enough understanding of them that they'll be able to walk in them as adults. And then college prep might be a good idea. Take a look around you. You have young people about ready? Then prepare them. Do you have young people in public schools? Prepare them for public schools. You have them in private schools, homeschooling. Watch over them and guard their hearts and their souls. And we want to pass the work of God and the ministry of God to the next generation, don't we? I sure appreciate you listening. I sure hope these are helping. I'm noticing more and more of you are watching or listening and coming into the website, smallchurchmentor.com. Feel free to shoot me an email at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. Again, I say it every week. I need to get better at it. I'm sorry. I need to update the Facebook page, but we are on Facebook. I'd sure love to have some interaction and some discussion on Facebook. There's comment sections on my website. And listen, I am here for you. I want to do all I can to help you to grow, help your church to grow, and not so much grow in numbers, although if that's what God's calling you to do, then absolutely. But I want it to grow spiritually. I want it to grow and to be what God wants it to be. Thank you very much for listening.